Well, thank you, Gail. Appreciate it very much. Going to rush through just a brief history of what we've been doing in Springfield, Illinois. Let me begin by saying two things. I'm just a Christian. I'm a Christian like you are. And so I've chosen, and my wife has been so supportive. She's just as much evangelistic as I am. But I've chosen to give my life to evangelism, to the Lord. And so, but that doesn't make me any different than anyone else. I'm just a Christian like you are. Second thing, I'm no expert. And so I know that what you all are doing here is phenomenal in my mind. And so y'all have grown so rapidly, and that's not our goal, is to grow and to grow a church. Our goal is to save people and to edify them in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the things that we talk about this morning, don't think that I have in mind, I'm coming here to teach you evangelism because you need it. That is not in my mind. I told Gail, you come to Springfield and teach us. We need your instruction and your help. So we're just Christians in edifying and encouraging one another to do the work of the Lord. And so, just quickly, some of the things that we have been doing in Springfield. First of all, Springfield is indeed the capital of Illinois. The city proper is 117,000, and the county is 200,000, and most of that is around Springfield. So, we've got a pretty good population to work with there. It's 200 miles south of Chicago, about 100 miles north of St. Louis, and so that gives you an idea. I didn't know that Tom ran the Find the Church website, and I've thanked him profusely for his work. It is a great work, and I've appreciated it. And so over the years, Penny and I have been in and around Illinois for many years, and we've had an interest in Springfield for 10 years before we moved there. We had planned three or four times to move to Springfield, but there was no one that we could find to start the work with. And so, you know, when you go there by yourself to start a work, you're starting in a very difficult situation. But we finally decided if we don't give it a try, there may never be a church, at least in our lifetime, in Springfield. And so we made that decision to go to Springfield. But my point that I was making is when you look at Find the Church and you look at the state of Illinois, there's a huge hole right there in that state. And so so glad that now the Lord has blessed us to establish a work in Springfield. When we moved to Springfield, I'm just going to move quickly through this, so forgive me for not giving you the detail I would like. But when we moved, we were searching for a place to worship very hard. We couldn't find a place to worship in Springfield. I know that sounds strange, but we couldn't, especially when you're starting. It ended up with five of us that started the work there. Me and Penny, our son and daughter-in-law, he's also an evangelist. We are working together, co-evangelists. We're both fully supported to do the work there in Springfield. And then one other man, we started the work there in Springfield. And so, your budget's quite limited, we'll put it that way. So we found this house. This house is just five blocks south of the Capitol building, right on the same street. Our front lawns are on the same street, five blocks south. And so we started the work in our living room in this old home. That's the Capitol building, just five blocks north of the house that we began the work in. And so this is the opening service. We had eight people there that day. This is the living room of the home there. And so we worshiped there for a little over a year. We were planning to knock out some walls, the wall right behind those people at the rear, and that would have gotten us to where we could hold 30-something people. There were some Sundays we were getting, I think our largest attendance was 27 in the living room there. And so we were going to knock out the wall. We moved to a hotel. We gave a little bit of an experiment. Are we going to get more visitors at the hotel? And we did. Almost immediately we started getting more visitors, so we decided not to go back to the house. And so for a little over a year we worshiped in the hotel room. This is not the group there. This is a group of brethren. There has been such an interest in the Midwest for there to be a church in Springfield. And so when we moved from the living room to the hotel conference room, there were 20-something people from surrounding areas. And when I say surrounding, I'm talking Indiana. I'm talking 3-4 hours away. People came to help us work in the community to announce that we were having our opening service at the conference room in the hotel. In just 3 or 4 hours, we handed out over 2,000 door hangers and cards. No, 3,000, wasn't it, Penny? Yeah, over 3,000 in just a few short hours on a Saturday. This was our opening service in the conference room. You can see we worshiped there for a little over a year. Our problem, there was enough room. Some Sundays we were running a little over 30 and the capacity was 40. We still had enough room because it wasn't every Sunday we were having a little over 30. In fact, seldomly. But we had no classrooms. And so we were already looking to find us a building. And without going into details, we looked for, we'd kept our eye on this building for 2 years before we bought it. Again, a lot of detail that I can't go into. One thing that I do want to mention, we bought this little building for $75,000. And I told the brethren, the first thing that we are going to do is cut down that tree. We closed on it at 4 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, the tree was laying on the ground. And so we began working. This is what the outside looked like. We have now painted it, all the louvers in the bell tower, all around the windows. We took storm windows out. We painted everything a nice pale yellow color that really went well with the brick. It pulled out some of the yellow that was in the brick. And so the outside looks real pretty. We're replacing the basement windows with replacement vinyl windows. It's starting to look good. This is what the inside looked like. And so over there where the music instruments are, there was a stage there. To the right, there was a stage there for the drums. And then you can see that expansion wing over to the right. Well, when we got finished with it, this is what it looks like. So we spent about 3 months just working almost every day and repairing it. And we got rid of the stages for the instruments and such. And you can see where that expansion wall is. We created two classrooms there. The idea is we didn't want to make it where mothers had to send their children, visiting mothers, down to the basement. You mothers can tell me, right? You're not going to send your child down to the basement. So we wanted these classrooms right there so that they would feel more comfortable with that. Okay, so let me spend the remainder of our time in sharing with you some of the things that we've done in Springfield. When you move there and there is no one to start the work with, you've got to get out in what I would refer to, if you'll forgive the expression, you got to do raw evangelism. It's no warm context. There's no friends telling you about people and inviting them to services. That was, in fact, one of the advantages, I thought, to doing the work is that first of all, let me say this, and we'll come right back to that, is that whenever I hear of a church growing, I always ask the preacher, the elders, what are y'all doing that you're having success? Nick can attest to that. I picked his brain yesterday, not only what you're doing here, but what they did in Charleston. And I want to find out. And typically what I find out, though the Charleston work was very similar to what we're doing in Springfield, typically what you find out is that the members are busy inviting their friends, co-workers and such. They come to services. They become comfortable with the people. They go out. They visit them. They have a Bible study with them. And they are converted. Across the nation, people are looking for, first of all, people are looking for what's the best way to reach people. What do you say to people? The way that churches are growing is Christians inviting them to come and to worship the Lord, to meet His people, and then going out and have Bible studies with them. That's what is most effective. But I thought one of the advantages to going to Springfield, since we didn't have that, is this would give us an opportunity to test the waters. Does this work? Does this work? Does this work? So that we can incorporate that into an established work and to be more effective. So let me share with you in the next few minutes some of the things that we did, because we didn't have people inviting. So we went there, the five of us started the work, and someone told us about a couple that were their relatives that lived there. We went out and visited them. They came to worship services. We asked them after the second or third visit if we could come have a Bible study with them. They told us no. We just want to kind of see what you all are all about. When you're meeting in the living room of a home, people are going to be a little suspicious. And so, and just quickly, Gail's sitting over there thinking he can't do this quickly. I know him. But quickly, I went out and did a survey in Springfield because I wanted to know, are we shooting ourselves in the foot? And so I went asking people, if you were to visit our services of a startup congregation, would you feel more comfortable meeting in a living room of a home or in a conference room of a hotel, per se? And all of the guys said, oh, it doesn't matter to us. We just come wherever. Across the board, not one exception to it. Not one exception. Every single lady said, I would not feel comfortable going to the home of someone I don't know. I'd feel more comfortable, more secure going to a public place. And so as we were going out in talking to people, we realized we needed to get out of the house and into a public place. But anyway, they visited with us for a while. They weren't ready for a Bible study, but about 6 months later, 4 or 5 months, I can't recall, didn't write it down, they were then ready for a Bible study, and we studied with them for several weeks, and they were converted. Ken and Nancy Hopper, just absolutely wonderful people. Another thing that we did was special topic Sundays, and I had a car. This is supposed to be a door hanger, and so they forgot to cut the hole in the top, the printer did, and so we called it a door leaner. So instead of scrapping it, we just leaned it up against the door. But what we did is we went out in the neighborhood and we surveyed the neighborhood. If you were to come visit us, which of these three topics would you find more interesting? Are we living in the end times? We just picked some things that we know that people are interested in. Are we living in the end times? If there is a good God, why is there evil, suffering, and death? And the third choice was, why are there so many churches? Now, let me ask you, which one do you think that they picked?
Are we living in the end times?
That's the one that got it. It was very close that why is there evil, suffering, and death? It was right behind it. And so we went out and we surveyed people. And so once we went out and surveyed them, that helped us tell us what's going to attract people to the worship service. And then in doing that, we also asked them, now if your topic's the one that's chosen, how would you like for us to contact you? Would you like for us to send you a text? Would you like for us to drop back by and give you a card and let you know? Or you want us to email you? Several people gave us their cell phone number. Send me a text. And so I asked them, would it be okay for us to send you a text of any special events that we have? And so they gave us the permission. So now we were creating a database of text of cell phones. So we weren't going to spam them. We weren't going to send them stuff every week. Just whenever we have these special topic Sundays and things like that, we were able to send them a text and invite them to come. And so some people, you know, just drop us by an invitation and so on. So that's the way we worked that. We had at least three special topic Sundays so far, but I'll tell you about in a few moments what we've kind of replaced that with. But we do everything with professional printing. You know, we put a little write-up about our group on the back and about the topic, directions, our Facebook page, our website, and so on. When we went and made the change to the hotel room, we did the door hangers. We had a companion that has the exact same information on the back of it. But again, we're living in a time that you can't do black and white photocopy. They're going to dismiss that. It's going to discredit us. And so we do everything professionally. And I remember one day we knocked on a door. Well, a guy was actually sitting out on his patio, walked up, invited him to come to services, and handed him a card. And he said, "You actually spent money on this." What did that tell you? What do most people do? And so it shows you that they don't appreciate the lower quality. And so, unfortunately, we're living in a time we've got to use professional quality. We did surveys, as I was saying. Sometimes I would go out in the community and verify if Springfield is like the national average. For instance, as I shared with you earlier, what are you looking for? If you were to visit a church, what would you consider to be an important characteristics? I found the exact same thing that the national surveys found. We want to see if the people love one another. And are these people genuine? Are they the real deal? And so we do, not all the time, but we do several surveys in Springfield. This coming spring, we're going to do a series on family life, and we're going to precede that by going out in the community and doing a survey to find out what women think are the most important characteristics in a husband, husbands think are the most important characteristics in a wife, and if we're bold enough, we're going to ask the children what they think is most important in a family setting, in a family life. And then we're going to create that database and come back, follow up with that along with all of our other advertising. So we do surveys, not a lot, but we do surveys. I don't know if you can read this. Yep. So small group Bible studies. We have had a phenomenal amount of people come to our small group Bible study. We've had people come to various things. So I'm not as convinced that this is the way to go as I was a year or two ago. But I was finding that if we contacted people who were strangers and we just asked them for a Bible study in Springfield, and I'm sure it's the same here in Charlotte, you and I could go knock on doors today and we can set up Bible studies. I almost guarantee it. We can get a Bible study today. But when Tuesday evening comes around that we're supposed to go to their home, if we text them or call, oh, I'm sorry, it's worked out that I can't make it. So they'll agree to a Bible study, but to get them into that Bible study is very difficult. And the reason is because when we knock on doors and we ask them for that very, we take that very bold approach, if you will, we've got no credibility with them. They don't know who we are. That's why congregations are more effective in the members inviting them to these special services, to the Sunday worship, because you've got credibility with them. And when you talk about the group, and if we're a group that God wants us to be, and you talk about the group, it creates credibility for the group. And so when you're a stranger, you know, you've got to just hope that you find people that door, that their window is open. It's like I said, before I became a Christian, you know, I was living a wrong life, but I was lying on my bed at night praying for God to take my life and change it. Somebody had approached me at that time, I would have visited their worship service. And so you never know if you'll find that person when you're out doing door work and so on. So I used to think that small group studies, this is the way we need to do it. I wasn't out preaching it and pushing it, but in my mind, because we were having, and we still do, we continue our small group studies. And what we do is that all of our work, the majority of our work right now, is outreach. It's evangelism. When we pick a topic, we try to think of what will people be interested that we can get them to come to this Bible study. One, for instance, really surprised me. We did a series, and now we're having our small group study at the church building. We've had small group studies in our homes, our Colton and Carrie's apartment before they bought a house. And people come. We had one study that lasted for 12 weeks at the church building. And the topic was resisting Satan. And so, show you in just a moment, it may be our next point. Yeah, we use Facebook extensively. We have a $500 a month budget that we spend for advertising, and the majority of that goes to Facebook. We create posts on Facebook. Our page is Springfield Christians, if you want to go there and look at it, and then follow us and you can see what we do each week. We've started doing videos now, and you'll see those. But we just simply put a post on of the topic that we're studying, and we boost it. And you can pick the area that you want to boost it in. You can put parameters, what you would know as tags. Those of you who are familiar, we put tags on there, just like God, Jesus, Bible study, family, and people that are interested in these things. It's going to go into their news feed when you boost your post. And so we put a post on about resisting Satan. Each week we would put a new post for that topic. Over the 12-week period, we got 14 visitors from the community. And so these small group Bible studies, I think, work well. And one of the reasons that I think they work well is that when you reach out to a stranger and you ask them for a private Bible study, that's quite direct. It's you and them face to face. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying that. But with many people, it's very direct. You ask them to come to services, and unless they know you well, I'm talking about with strangers now. You ask them to come to services, and we have a lady that can testify to this that's been visiting us for several weeks. You don't know, they don't know, if it's going to be a traditional worship service with a man in a robe with a white collar and quite stuffy, or if it's going to be people that are throwing snakes around. They don't know what to expect when they come. They don't know. And so when you invite them to a small group study, that's not direct. That's not me and you. And it's not a worship service that of potential snake handlers. This is a Bible study, and they can sit and observe, or they can participate, and they know that. So we've been having good results with the small group Bible studies, and we try to do topics that we feel are going to be helpful and interesting to them. So we do Facebook work, a lot of Facebook work, and there's some things that if there's anybody that's interested in this, I'll be happy to share with you afterward. We've used Meetup. Colton and Carrie lived for 2 years in an apartment in a town 10 minutes south of Springfield. And over that year and a half that they were doing meetup and advertising and meetup, got 40 visitors to the small group Bible studies. They bought a house in Springfield on the nice side of town, and they got one. And so they've quit doing the small group. You know, we don't know why. We don't know. It's same people, same kind of topics, and so we don't know why. But we got several people to the hotel conference room in our small group studies. We're getting people come to the church building by advertising on Meetup. Again, we've done door-to-door work in various ways. We've certainly done a lot of door-to-door work in our moves that we have made. What we try to do at Springfield is because, and this is not set in stone, I'm just sharing with you ideas, but you and I know how important it is for us to be here today, and there's nowhere else we want to be. We understand how important it is, but people in the world don't understand that. And when, you know, you invite them to Sunday service, unless that door or window's open, I'm exaggerating, but what they hear is the Charlie Brown teacher. Wah, 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 wah. You know? But if you have an event, and when I say event, not like all the churches are having their Halloween event now, and it's going to be followed up by their Thanksgiving event, and it's going to be followed up by their Christmas play. I'm not talking events like that. I'm talking scriptural events, topics that we can address, having a series on things that will be. When you have that you can invite them to an event, it creates also more excitement among the members. And as Harold Comer said many years ago in the book that he wrote on evangelism, is that all these churches that are having these unscriptural events, it's not that the people are excited about a free hot dog. It's not that back in that day that he wrote, it's not that they're so excited to come see Sammy the Sword Swallower. What gets them to come is the excitement of the member that invited them to this event. And so if we're excited about this family life series that we're going to be doing, if we're excited about how that we can empower ourselves to resist Satan, and we're out telling our co-workers and family members, so we try to create events that give the members a reason. We create cards for them and such, and so we found that to be effective. We try to do events 2, 3, 4 times a year. And then we just invite people all the time. I've got just these business side cards that we use. I've got several different ways that we've designed them, just so that you can invite people that you meet. Just quickly before I close, I've got no seconds. We've started doing Pick a Topic Sunday. All through the summer, every Sunday, we were preaching lessons that people in the community wanted to hear. What we do is we go out and we meet people. We didn't even have to do door-to-door work. I go to Lowe's to buy some 2x4s, and I'm asking the people, hey, we're a startup group. We just moved to this building. If you were to visit us on Sunday, what lesson would you like to hear? And so we're letting the community pick our topics for us. You know what the first suggestion we got? Pulled into the car wash and I told the guy what we were doing. And I said, what lesson would you suggest or would you like to hear? He said, I'd like to hear a lesson on the Bible. Okay. You know, what do you have in mind? He said, well, where did it come from? How did we get it? Boom. That was our first Pick a Topic lesson. Another lady, we're pumping gas. I'm sorry, Gil, just one more minute. Another lady, I'm pumping gas. She's across the way. And I told her the same thing. I said, what would you like to hear a lesson on? She said, I'd like to hear a lesson about the Amalekites. Where did you learn about the Amalekites, I'm thinking. And I said, okay, what do you got in mind? Well, you know, when Israel was making their way to the Promised Land, those Amalekites got in their way and they tried to stop them. You know, the same thing will happen to us today. People get in our way and they'll try to hinder us and stop. I said, ma'am, do you want me to call you when that sermon's preached? Because it's going to be preached. And so we've used this all through the summer. And now, once a month, we continue this. One of our sermons each month is going to be on something that the community has picked. So this gives you the opportunity to approach people, and it creates goodwill. We're not going to just tell you what you need to hear. We want to know what do you need to hear, what you think. That doesn't mean we're going to preach everything. There are some that you know, were in politics and stuff like that, and I just told them up front, you know, that's not what we're looking to do. And so, you know, not everybody, but 8 out of 10 people that I asked would give me a topic. And 8 out of 10 of those, more than that, 9 out of 10 of those that gave us topics were topics that we preached that were good topics. So this has worked well for us. I'm out of time. Love you.